You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As the Archbishop and Primate of the Anglican Church in North America, and also as the Bishop of the Anglican Diocese of the South, it is a joy and a privilege to be with you all tonight. It's so exciting to see and hear what the Lord is doing in this place, and to be able to get to know some of you as well. I just spent a few days with Father Eric, Father Nathaniel, and Deacon Robert at our annual diocesan clergy retreat over in North Georgia. I'm not sure for them, but for me, it was a great few days of spending time with the Lord and with some of His fellow servants. It's also good to meet you all and to get to know you a little bit. My text this evening is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to invite you to open your Bibles or back to the passage we just read as we look at a few verses from Paul's writing here. The Apostle Paul is writing these early Christians, giving them instructions as they seek to follow Jesus in their setting in the very, very pagan city of Corinth. In this passage, he's actually attempting to take up an offering. The Jewish believers in Jesus in Jerusalem were being persecuted fiercely, and they were experiencing extreme poverty, having lost their homes, their jobs, being cut off from their families. Many were hiding just to stay alive. And so Paul is appealing to these Gentile followers of Jesus to reach out and to give to their Jewish brothers and sisters who had lost so much because of their commitment to Jesus. In the midst of this appeal, Paul makes some wonderful theological statements and principles about following Jesus. And I want to point us to verse 9 this evening and just stay kind of right there and notice the truth that grace leads to generosity. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He writes, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Grace leads to generosity. Grace leads to generosity. Look how he says this. First he says, Jesus Christ was rich. He existed eternally in all the abundance of heaven, of sharing with the Father's being, of his sovereignty or rule over all the created order, the earth, the universes out there, and also the universes under the magnifying glass. He shared all the glory of the Father, no sin, no suffering, no pain, no death. He was rich. Secondly, this verse tells us he became poor. He entered the human race as a baby, and he gave up all the glories of heaven. It's what we call the incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas, God being born as a human baby. Paul said it this way in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was born in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." From heaven's perspective, he became poor. Bishop Hanley Mule, in his commentary, writes this. He says, "We might even dare to say he beggared himself. As the second person of the Trinity, the Son laid aside his glory and became a servant who was obedient, even to death on a cross." The third thing this verse tells us is that he did it for your sake. He did it for your sake. For sinners like you and me, He became poor and suffered death on a cross. We humans who had squandered our inheritance of the Garden of Eden, that inheritance of being able to communicate and fellowship with God and being provided for by His abundance, we squandered it all by our sinfulness, gave it all away, and became poor. And so Jesus became poor for our sake, because we had lost our relationship with God and all that goes with it. And then fourth, we see in this passage, through His poverty, we have become rich. Through His poverty, we have become rich. That is, we have been given salvation, eternal life, fellowship and access to the Father. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given this incredible ability to have communion and fellowship with the God of the universe. John Stott says it this way, "Thus the rich Christ became poor so that we in our poverty might become rich with His riches. Christ impoverished Himself in order to enrich us." So hear verse 9 again. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich." Paul is using this extraordinary truth of the gospel to make his appeal to these early followers to be generous in their giving. He is saying that God's grace leads to generosity. God's undeserved, unmerited, and unrelenting gift to us in Jesus Christ not only models grace, but empowers the believer to exhibit grace. Grace leads to generosity. To cut to the chase, because Jesus gave Himself for us, the Christian must learn to give. The Christian will learn to give, because grace leads to generosity. It's not forced, it's not compelled, it's not demanded, but it flows from His grace. Spontaneous, gracious, sacrificial, and generous. Grace leads to generosity. Some would say it's a synonym for grace, that generosity is a synonym for grace. Now, I know this rubs some modern followers of Jesus the wrong way. We like our money, and we don't want anybody telling us what to do with it. "Don't you tell me to tithe," that is, give the first 10% to Him. "Don't you tell me I need to give." But I need to remind you, grace leads to generosity. Those in tune with the Holy Spirit are not tightwads. They follow God's leading in all things, including their finances. Grace leads to generosity. So Paul can write in verse 7, "But as for you, excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you. See that you excel in this act of grace also." See, we want to excel in all these others. Of all the temptations we moderns face in the culture that we are in, I think this is probably one of the most difficult to overcome. We want to excel in all the other virtues of following Jesus, but not this one. The problem is that we've made a god out of our money, our possessions, and our standard of living. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying, please. There's nothing wrong with money or our possessions or our standard of living. The problem comes when they become idols in our life, when they sit on the throne of our life instead of Jesus, when our life revolves around them instead of Jesus. We then have a problem of being idolatrous. So we must repent and put Jesus back in His rightful place on the throne. Not the car, not the house, not the job, not how much I'm going to have in retirement, how much the funds are going to make this year, but Jesus on the throne. And when we do, we find that His grace is generous to us, and His grace is generous through us. So hear this verse one more time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.